Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to assemble together today, knowing that we stand somewhere between the 81st and 82nd scene that is to unravel before us, and the catching away, the change of the body, and the going home. So, Lord, we just ask you to speed up the escalator and help us to see this without failing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I'm really proud of this church because when you do a web analysis of what they are preaching in the so-called message churches, it's just nothing that you wouldn't hear in a Baptist church or a Pentecostal church. In some churches, they preach like Baptists, but other churches, they preach just Pentecostal. You know, it's all about feelings. It's all about feeling good. It's all about loving God, you know, and it's more, you know, Christianity is more than loving God. You know, Brother Brown said the church has gotten soft. They're Laodicean. They're blind and naked and miserable, but they don't know it. So they're kind of mental too. And, it's good to actually have a gospel with teeth in it, one that we can stand, because we're going to have to stand one of these days. So my prayer is that, you know, you all be made ready. And we are being made ready by a fivefold ministry and by a prophet of God who came down, gave it to them, and they took the light and they dispersed it amongst others. Now, next week, we're going to have questions and answers, and I'll be meeting on Saturday with the ministers from around the world, and then you know, via internet, and then we're going to have that here. But the week after, we start a mini series on the World Council of Churches. Now, you can search and search and search the internet. You don't find a whole lot unless you really know what it's all about. Because remember, the Catholic Church is in charge. But she needs support. You know, in Revelation 13, we're told that the United States actually helps the image through the image. They give power unto the beast. So, you know, the Catholic Church by itself is worthless because they couldn't tell you nothing. You know, you just simply wouldn't do what they want. But all the churches joining up with the Catholic Church, and, you know, the Bible says they would turn down doctrine in 2 Timothy, and they would begin to preach fables. Now, Brother Branham said in Questions and Answers 5, 7, and 62, he said that's Trinitarian and oneness doctrine. Well, see, it's already made it into the message. They're preaching a oneness doctrine. And he called the fables in, he called them the oneness and the Trinitarian doctrines. Because remember, Trinity comes out of Babylon. And it comes out of Anu, Ea, and Enlil. And so, it's a Trinitarian doctrine, or, well, anyway, so it comes out of Babylon, which, is mythology. Okay? What's mythology? Fables. That's all it is. So there's your Trinity, there's your doctrine of oneness. So anyway, we're going to study this morning End Time Depression Judgment Part 4, and then this afternoon Part 5. And I've broken this into two because we got to like about 20-some pages, and so I decided that we would split it in half and make it a little bit shorter. So I'm just going to read scriptures this morning, and I'm going to read things that Brother Branham said. So from Proverbs 6:32, he says, "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." Now, you can commit adultery spiritually or physically. And we're talking about the spiritual part, all right? Therefore, there must first be a spiritual death take place first, where a person loses any understanding they might have had. So how do they do that? By committing adultery. In other words, joining up with a church, all right? Joining up with anything that would take them away from the Word. Now, what's the whole purpose of the Antichrist system? Is to get you to be religious without doctrine, without the Word. So I'm showing you that, you know, people can talk about having they love Jesus and you know, such feeling good in their spirit, you know, and just lovely, lovely, lovely this. And let's all be brothers and, you know, let's just be real nice and everything else. And you're committing spiritual adultery without the word. Now, you could be that way, lovely, 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 and have the doctrine, you're okay. But you see, once you put the doctrine aside to get along, you've done damage right there. You've shown yourself that you're willing to pay the price. I mean, that you're willing to pay you're a prostitute is what you are. All right. You're not faithful. All right. So Proverbs 30:20 says, such is the way of the adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth. You see, just like the woman in the garden, it says that, you know, God said, don't eat it. Because the minute you eat thereof, the minute you die, well, the adulterous woman eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no evil. So, in other words, her eating shows that she's taking it into herself. That's adultery, okay? Ezekiel 16:32, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. There's your definition of adultery. Taketh in strangers instead of the husband, okay? So, we're going to be approaching, because I'm going to show you that they are marked as adulterers, okay, before the judgment comes. And the judgment is depression, all right? Now, the whole world is living in adultery. The Bible says the kings of the earth have committed adultery with her, the whore, and the people of the earth have been made drunk, which means they've been made exuberant in their fornications with her. So you see, it's not just the kings, but the people go along with them. All right. Now, Revelation 2:22, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into what? Great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. In other words, you may have been at one time a part of that system. You may have been a Republican or a Democrat and part of their system, but now you've wised up. Okay? You realize it's all fake, it's all adulterous, and you want nothing to do with it. All right. Therefore, we see the tribulation and death are her punishment. Now, 2 Peter 2:14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, which is unbelief, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, and they are cursed children. Therefore, the curse is upon them. Now, where does the curse come from? It's not saying what Paul said. He said, if a man comes to you and says anything other than what I said, let him be cursed. Okay, Moses said the same thing. Jesus said the same thing. All right. Now, in Mark 8:38, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. It is not just a matter of they are so nice that they just have no revelation. It's a matter that they turn down the revelation and they are nice for a purpose. Now, why are you nice for a purpose? Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be nice, but why are you nice for a purpose? Because you will gain. You notice a little child says, oh, mommy, I love you so much. You're so pretty, and daddy, oh, you're so nice and everything. Can I have some candy? You know, there's a motive behind they're being nice, okay? James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So they are your enemies. They're God's enemies. They're your enemies, okay? Now see, look, I know some people are thinking, oh man, he's just preaching too hard. You know, he's gonna have to, have another stroke or something to get rid of them, because, you know, we're tired of hearing this hard stuff. But let me just say this. I'm just saying what the word says. All right. You're reading it right there. Okay. So it's not me. It's him. And he said, friend of this world is enemy of God. All right. Now, from confirmation and evidence. Now, let me tell you, friend, that God, the God of Moses, who could take them in the ark, could take them away from them walls. Now, we're talking about the Ark of the Covenant, okay? And if God, by instinct in a bird, could call it from danger, How much more ought it to call human beings who are inspired by the Holy Ghost? In other words, this doctrine of Christ, for without it you have not God, and without it, Paul says you're none of his. For God to have opened your eyes to this truth is just like Moses and just like, you know, the prophets before us, inspiring us by the Word of God. Okay, how much more ought it to call human beings, he's called you by this doctrine, who are inspired by the Holy Ghost? What an evil thing. What an adulterous generation. Now listen, how many people do you know committing adultery? Well, I'll tell you what, everybody outside the truth is committing adultery, and they don't even know it. Like Brother Bram said, you know, you women are out there in your bathing suits mowing the lawn, and you're committing adultery with men, and you don't even know it. You know, Jewish rabbi says, well, you know, unless you actually do the thing, you're not. But he rejects Jesus. Jesus said, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He said, if a man looks at a woman and lusts after her in his heart, he's committed adultery with her. Well, if you look at the churches, like, well, I won't say it because it would offend somebody in here. But there's churches in this message who are preaching an adulterous relationship. They get up and they speak for maybe 5-10 minutes. Then they have somebody sing, and then, you know, some woman sing. And you know, I'm sorry, but there's some good music in this message if they sing the old-fashioned songs, but there's some people that just get up there and they sound like they're basically making love. You know, oh Jesus, oh beautiful Jesus. I don't care for that kind of music. It's fake. It's just like, you know, Trudeau, his friendliness is fake. Just like the guy on Joel Osteen. You know, a lot of people flock to the fake. Oh, he's nice. He's so nice. He's such a nice little good-looking boy. Listen, he's adulterous. He's adulterous, and you've let him into your home. You know? All right. What an evil thing. What an adulterous generation. What an evil place that we're living in. What a sinful, ungodly nation that we have. Don't think that you are living in a nation that serves God, that puts the Bible first. They've taken the Declaration of Independence and they shredded it. They've taken our Constitution and they shredded it. And you know, the Declaration of Independence from the independence from Britain was saying, but we're one nation under God. See, they've taken all of that out. They've taken the Pledge of Allegiance out. They've taken one nation under God out. They don't want anything to do with God. The Democrats have taken out of their platform. You see, the difference between is you people are being deceived by the Republican Party because they're talking conservative thing, but actually all it is about is getting reelected. None of them speak the truth. How many of them really believe God sent a prophet to show us mercy to get us out of here? None of them. So they're preaching false. They're preaching, you know, Cardinal Vigano, he's the most conservative person in America, and he's a cardinal, believes in Mary worship. So tell me how nicety and how, you know, standing for the principles of conservatism means. It means nothing to God. Your niceness means nothing to God. The Bible says your righteousness is what? As filthy rags. What is a filthy rag? It's a woman's once a month, you know, tissues, okay? It's filthy. And so God says, your righteousness is as filthy rags. Wow, that's how much God is really swayed by your being nice. I would rather stand, look, what's the difference between Brother Vail and Brother Branham? It was miracles. They had the same gospel. Brother Branham said, if you want to know anything about this message, that's when he fell. And you know what? The people loved Brother Branham because he was nice, but they hated Brother Vail because he's what? Well, he was a little bit ornery. And you know, my first exchange with Brother Vail at his house, we sat and talked and he said some things and I just couldn't understand. And I went to bed because I was so pure, you know, that, I mean, I wouldn't let even cuss words or anything, you know, I mean, I would spell them, I wouldn't say them. And I went to bed and I said, Lord, you know, He's got so much light, and yet, he's so crusty. And the Holy Spirit said to me, which of my prophets was not crusty? You have the prophet, who was the prophet Samuel? What did he do to Agag? He cut him in pieces. Can you imagine cutting a living person in pieces? Think about that. Now that's crusty. That's tough. Okay? And King Saul didn't know that he was sinning against God, even though God said, don't come back with anybody, don't leave anybody living, don't leave sheep, don't leave nothing. And he came back and said, well, it wouldn't hurt to kind of line our pockets a little bit with these sheep and goats and things like that. We'll just kind of let him off the hook. And the prophet came and he just took the king's sword and he hacked him into pieces. That's a prophet of God. Another prophet of God, 40 little kids. You think 40 little kids, you think about what's happening in this world and all these kids are in danger and everything else. And a prophet of God sent a she-bear after 40 kids and devoured them. Wow. That's pretty brutal. That's a prophet of God. You see, he loved God's word more than anything. Do you love God's word, and are you willing not to compromise with his truth? Are you willing to turn down the websites that's just about singing, and then all of a sudden the guy slips in and says a few little words from the Bible, and it's totally wrong. He's just, he's corrupt anyway, and he's just totally wrong. And you say, well, but I love the singing. No, you're willing to compromise the truth of God. I wouldn't listen to that kind of stuff if I was paid $1 million, $2 million, in this economy, $1 trillion. You couldn't get me to do it. Okay? So, what a sinful, ungodly nation we have. God forsaken, God hating. And when you listen to that stuff, you are hating God and you think you're loving God. Because you're caught up into emotion. And that's sick. Really, really sick. Now, I'm sorry, I'm not talking to you people here. Well, I'm just telling everybody that's listening. It's just a sick thing. It's an adulterous nation. And we think, she was a Plymouth Rock. She came out from, one time she did. One time she stood by God's word. One time she wrote a Declaration of Independence. One time she wrote a Constitution, but not today. Not today. They've broken them all. Sign seekers. Believe the sign. Yeah, sign seekers. Bandwagon riders. Impersonators. Carnal comparison. Let up with a bunch of nothing. Coming to the end of the road, I speak in the name of the Lord. One more I'll call. It's up to you. Answer. All right. So, I guess all of that, we've only gotten to page 2. I'm sorry. So, from the presence of God unrecognized, God says, like in the days of Jesus, same thing. Watch him standing here now. He said, as it was in the days of Jonah, for as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and nights, so must the Son of Man. He said, a wicked and adulterous generation will seek after a sign. Believe the sign. Everybody's in the message because of the sign. And they won't listen to the voice of the sign, which is a doctrine that he preached. When Jesus, they loved his ministry. They loved the healing. Come to my church. Come to my temple. Read from the Bible. And when he said, this day the scripture is fulfilled. Whoa. When he opened his mouth and brought out the doctrine, you serpents, you generation of serpent seed. Whoa, they didn't like him then. When William Branham, they loved his ministry until he started preaching the word. He led up to it, but when he opened up about 58 or 57, he opened up and really started preaching the word, they said, I know we can draw 45,000 people at a crack, but you know what? We got to preserve our denomination. We got to preserve our Trinitarianism. We got to preserve our oneness. We got to preserve our traditions, our religion. And so he ended up preaching to no one in just a handful in 65. So he was rejected. He said, a wicked and adulterous generation will seek after a sign. Now, you know what I think he was doing. He was prophesying a wicked and adulterous generation. I wonder if any man in his right mind could deny that we are not living in a weak and adulterous generation when homosexuals and perversion and the divorce rates in America is higher than any other nation in the world. And listen, even in this message. I'm sorry, there's churches in this message that allow homosexuals to attend. There's people in this message that are homosexuals, that are pedophiles. They should not be allowed in the door. The deacon should greet them at the door and say, I'm sorry, but your kind is not allowed to come in with us because we're feasting from the Word of God, and you don't believe the Word. You believe in social gospel. And the divorce rates in America is higher than any other nation in the world, and the whole world's gone into a chaos of it. Three out of every four nearly is divorced, around taking the whole thing around 10 years marriage. See, think of it. Divorce, marry again, and marry again. Divorce, and marry again. They were eating, drinking, and marrying wives and giving a marriage. Look at the hour we're living in. When was it ever in such a chaos? Now, I can understand if you're in the world and you're not following the gospel. Like, I have three brothers that are all divorced, and sorry to say, and the Bible says don't do it, but they do it anyway. All right? What is that? It's disobedience to the Word of God. What's that? You're marked. You're marked. All right? Now, from believest thou this, God always makes a preparation for things. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe that? I want you to listen close. I believe today with all my heart. Now, this is just Brother Bram speaking, you see. I believe that the things that you see are taking place now is a preparation. All right. What are the 86 things, signs and events of the parousia? It's a preparation. If you don't know that God is here and has done 81 of those 86, you have no clue what this message is about. You're just a conservative who says he believes the message. God is preparing something just before a climax. God always warns the world, and then if they won't, will not receive warning, then there's only one thing left, and that's judgment. Now, let me ask you this. How many churches that claim to believe the message can list, I won't even say 81, can list 10 of the 81 things that have taken place under the parousia of Christ? How many churches in this message that say, oh, I believe the message? You know what? I doubt there's maybe just a handful, except for, you know, those that tie in and those. And I don't say because of me, but because I've taught on those things. And so you understand those things. But why isn't every preacher teaching on those things? That's what I said to a certain preacher. He's, you know, he's got a ministry that he, you know, he sends out a little podcast about how he's going to teach them about, you know, the the things. And he won't say nothing about the parousia. He won't say nothing about, you know, the 81 events. Why? Because, you know what? The people in this message think it's a false doctrine, and yet Jesus preached it. Paul preached it, and he said, if you preach any other thing than I preach, you're cursed. So they're preaching other than what he preached. They're cursed, and yet it's a false doctrine. Why isn't everybody preaching parousia today? We're in it. He's here. He's doing things, and we're watching him do things. But you know what? They have no clue because they're on a different path. All right? Now, and all through the age, God always warned. He sends mercy, and if they spurn mercy, there's nothing else left but judgment. But the merciful Father will send mercy first, okay? From preparation, he said, now God in his preparation, back when God was going to destroy the world, before he destroyed the world, he sent forth a preparation for the saving of the people that desire to be saved. He always does it. He shows mercy before judgment. And if men spurn mercy, there's only one thing left, and that is judgment. And God don't judge you, you judge yourself. Now, how in the world are people that claiming to follow the pillar of fire, claiming to follow the message, are judging themselves, just like they did in Moses' day. Two million people walked out with him. Two million people walked out under the pillar of fire, under a vindicated prophet, and they wanted to stone the vindicated prophet. And 2 million people perished in the wilderness. And just Joshua and Caleb and a few younger ones, they were under 20 at the time, Kadesh Barnea. So how many people entered the promised land? How many of those people were lost that followed the pillar of fire and the vindicated Moses? Come on. 999,998. All right? They're lost. All right. In fact, one, I guess, if there's 2 million, there's one, there's a 199,998. Okay. And God don't judge you, you judge yourself. How do you judge yourself? By turning down the word. How do you see the mark of the beast? By turning down the word. By turning down the word. By taking the alternative, which is religion. You know, you are a religious people, there's no doubt. But that's not going to get you to heaven. How religious you are. There's a lot of people that are religious in this world. But that's the one thing they've done is they've turned down the word. Like Brother Vail said, if I had a picture of William Branham with a woman on his arm and a bottle of whiskey in his hand, would you still believe him? Most of you would say, oh man, I just got to stay as far away from that guy as possible. Because how do you know the picture's not rigged? How do you know the picture's not faked? Listen, 20 years ago, I was buying boxes for Kendall Futura. And I walked into the place that we bought boxes. These were, you know, they made special marketing boxes for different stores, Walmart and different places. And they had two pictures there. One of a nose-to-nose finish at the line of the Kentucky Derby, but there was a fence in the way, so you couldn't really see all the horses. And the second picture was the fence was removed. And you saw the picture, and it was the same picture, only they deleted digitally the fence. So I was making 38 websites for doctor's offices. One doctor had a big hoop earrings, and from Glamour Pictures, she took, you know, she was a model during college. And she wanted to use that for a website. And I said, you know, don't you think that that's a little bit over the edge for most people? I said, I think you know, if you took those earrings off, she said, can you do it? I said, oh, I can digitally remove. So I went in, digitally removed the earrings. And so we put up her picture on the website for her practice of herself in the same picture, glamour picture, but without the earrings. My secretary said, well, I don't want my picture on the website. I said, why? Well, if you can take 40 pounds off of me, then yeah, I'll consider it. I said, done. So I removed 40 pounds by taking down her neckline and, you know, her shoulders and stuff. And she looked 40 pounds lighter, and all of her girlfriends, she told me about one she had been living in Los Angeles, and she goes, wow, you've been on a diet, you look great. You know, and politicians, you know, like Pelosi. Why does she look so good? Well, she's had a facelift 100 times and it keeps drooping anyway. And she's going to say it anyway. Why does Hunter Biden look so good? Have any of you seen the picture of Hunter Biden before his dentures? Hunter Biden had cracked teeth. You know what cracked teeth are? Cracked teeth are, they're rotten around the edges. There's a picture online where he was having his teeth done. They showed a before and after picture of Hunter Biden, looked like a hobo, looked like a scum bucket that he is. And then there was Hunter Biden with the $1 million teeth. Now, which one are you going to believe? Come on. He's a crackhead. So I'm just saying, you can do things, you can make things look pretty, but it's all fake. I'd rather stand with a vindicated word. It doesn't look pretty, but it sure, oh man, it sure, you know, makes my soul rejoice. So, and don't judge, you judge yourself, okay? That's true. As long as you're under the spray of blood that's around the world, you have a right for mercy. Oh, isn't that a wonderful statement? Because that's what I'm counting on. I'm counting on the blood for my perfection as far as God sees me, he sees his own son. Brother Bram happened to be in a, you know, Brother Bram, really nice guy, wonderful character, you know, he really was disciplined to be that way because he wasn't that way before. He wanted to kill three boys. But yet God chose him even before when he wanted to kill those three boys. So God didn't choose him because he was flawless. You know, he was beautiful. He was very nice. Because he walked into a restaurant and he saw a cop with his arms around an old woman. And he said, God, why don't you just destroy it all right now? And the Holy Spirit gave him a vision of his own sins rising up. And the world was spinning around and it was covered by the blood and his own sins were coming up and they were pulled down by the blood. So this man that was very righteous, very nice, God considered his righteousness as filthy rags. So it's not about how holy you are. It's not about how nice you are. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and be a bad guy and, you know, be a bad mouth. But what I'm saying is put it in its proper place. When someone asks you if you're a Christian, tell them about God being here. Tell them that it's all going down. Don't just say, yes, I'm a Christian, that's fine, you know, and avoid it. Tell them the truth because it's the only chance they have to receive the truth. Don't hold back. Preachers in this message know about the parousia of God, and they refuse to even mention the word. Some will mention, oh, you know, he's here. Oh, good for you, he's here. Why don't you tell them the 86 events so that they can identify then with the parousia that Jesus spoke, that Paul spoke, that Peter spoke, that John spoke, that James spoke? They won't do it. They're holding down the truth. The blood of Christ keeps us from killing you, or he just as soon as you sin. But that's still holding God from you, from your death. But when you're a free moral agent now, but when you die and your spirit goes beyond that, then you're already judged. You don't have to wait for judgment. You're judged already. God done said, the day you eat thereof, the day you die, and that settles it. So if you don't stand for him here, you won't be standing for him on the other side. I'm sorry. Oh, I love you, Brother Bram. I love you, Brother Bram. And all that love me and my, you know, will be with me. My dog's with me. My horse with me. You know, every person's with me. Listen, you don't love God. You say you love Brother Bram, but you don't stand with his word. You don't teach the things he taught. You teach, oh, I'll pick and choose what I want because, you know, it'll keep more people in the seats. Well, you know, we don't have a whole bunch of people in the seats. We've got them around the world, but we don't have them here. I'm sorry, we could probably have 200 people in this church easy if I was a sweet, kind old priest. But I'm not a sweet, kind old priest. I'm a person that has had a stroke, and I'm living as true to as I can to the doctrine that he gave us. All right? Notice, he said, God doesn't judge you, you judge yourself. And how do we do that? By obeying his word or reaping what we have sown. And what does that have to do with an end time depression judgment? It's all to do with it. Now, if we examine the book of two laws, which do, meaning to, and anomy, the study of, we shall see the law of blessing and cursing. I think Brother Vail called it by another name that, he talked about, he used a big name. I don't even remember what it was, but anyway, you know, when we talk about Deuteronomy, we're talking about the study of two laws. Law of life and law of death. That's what Brother Bram called it. From God's own provided place of worship, he said, now the word Deuteronomy, the word itself means two laws, the word Deuteronomy. And God has two laws, the two laws. One of them is disobedience to the word and die, and one is the obedience to the word and live. That's the two laws. And Deuteronomy means two laws. They have both been absolutely displayed to us in the scripture. One of them is death, the other one is life. Life and death. God deals only in life, Satan only in death. And these was displayed to the world publicly, openly before every eye, and there's no excuse for it all. Like the sister said, well, Brother Vail, you know, I don't understand, therefore I'm excused. He said, no, I'm sorry, but he said, you're accountable, therefore you had better understand. You know, too many people put it off. I'm not going to study the Word. I just believe in Jesus. I believe in His blood. No, you don't. If you believed in His Word, you'd have your Bible open every day. You'd be studying the Scripture every day to find out more of what this love letter is for the bride. Because it is a love letter. It's full of mercy, full of grace. But you think you're beyond that because you're a good person. You never smoked, you never drank. So what? The serpent never smoked and drank. Come on. You think Judas was a smoker and a drinker? You think he was a fornicator and adulterer? I don't think so. I think he just turned down Jesus. All right? He was a handsome guy. All right? God deals only in life, Satan only in death. And these was displayed to the world openly, openly before every eye, and there's no excuse for it. One of them was displayed at Mount Sinai when the law was given, which condemned the whole human race to death. The other one was given on Mount Calvary that brought the whole human race to life when the penalty was paid in Jesus Christ. The two laws of Deuteronomy was fulfilled in these two great things. Again, from God's provided place of worship. Deuteronomy being a Greek word meaning two laws, the word Deuteronomy. And God has two laws. And one of them is the law of death, disobedient to His word. We find that when Eve disobeyed His word, it brought death. That's one of His laws. The day you eat thereof, the day you die. And then He has another law, which is the law of life, to obedience. If you don't do such a thing, why keep His word? Why keep His word? You live. Boils down to two things, to my way of thinking. It's either keeping His word or disobeying His word. One of these laws was given at Mount Sinai. And the other, that's the law of death. The other law was given at Mount Calvary, where the law of life was given through Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Again, from chosen word of worship, from chosen place of worship. Now, we took this text out of Deuteronomy, its Greek word, which has a compound meaning, means two laws. The Greek word Deuteronomy, which means two laws. And that's just what God has, two different laws, and one of them is the law of death, and the other is the law of life. God has two laws. To follow Him and to serve Him and worship Him is life. To reject it is death. There's the two laws of God. Now, in this book, especially in Deuteronomy, especially chapter 28, we see that if you pay attention and obey the word of God, His law, Torah, which means His instruction of the Father, we shall be blessed so much that the blessings will come upon us and overtake us. I have a good friend out west who is really, really blessed, and I won't say how the blessings are, but he knows who I'm talking about. And God has truly blessed him to such a way that it's just overtaken him, and that's the way it should be. All right, I know there's people sitting in here the same way. This is like in a race where you are not aware that the one coming upon you has a greater speed than you have, and by the time you are aware that he has come upon you, in other words, when he's even with you, he's already surpassing you and has taken over in the lead of your race. Now, in Deuteronomy 8:1, we read, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God," that's your prophets, "to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set on thee above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." But what if you don't hearken to the voice of the Lord? What does it mean to hearken? It means take heed. It means pay attention to it. But what if you don't pay attention to the voice of the Lord your God? I'm not sinning. I'm not committing adultery. I'm not committing fornication. I'm not drinking. I'm not cussing. I'm not doing any of these things. You're still lost. Because you're not hearkening. You're not paying heed. You don't know that the parousia of God is already here. That He has shown us signs and events. You're not hearkening. You're not paying heed. You're not paying attention to what He's saying. So what if you don't hearken to the voice of the Lord God? Then what? What if you don't pay any attention to the voice of God? What will happen? The opposite will take place, as we see in verse 15. Then we will see the curses associated with not paying heed to and not paying attention to his voice, which is his word. Now, I'm going to say this. There's coming a very tremendous judgment on America. And you know what? America is light years ahead of Europe and the rest of the nation. You go to China, you go to, you know, all these places in the world, and they're filthy. They're living in mythology. They're living in paganism. But American is worse now. Brother Bram, you know what Brother Bram said? When he saw Miss America, she was naked, holding a newspaper in front of her private parts. What's a newspaper? It's full of filth. What was she doing? She was dancing. To what? Rock and roll music. What are they doing at churches today? They're dancing. To what? Rock and roll music. I mean, it's like, it's got you out of your seat, and you're dancing, and you're jumping, and you're screaming, glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah, and you're on the hallelujah march and everything else, and it's Miss America in her naked condition, and she's playing, or she's dancing to rock and roll. And what? Guess what? A friend of mine, I was talking to him the other night from Jacksonville, and he's a real lovely brother, and he said to me, you know what? When I saw that, he said, disregard the preaching that they were preaching, but that service took 4.5 hours, and it was all, and 3.5 hours of it was basically all dancing and rock and roll music and everything else, and I got to thinking, wow, that's Miss America. That's the Church of America that Brother Bram saw. And then you go to the East in Asia, and they're the husbands and wives, and the whole churches show up at the beach together, and they go into the water and say, well, but we wear our full clothes. Yeah, and it's skin tight because you're wet. You know, we heard of that stuff in the 70s in the bars where the women, you know, and stuff. So let me just tell you, he said the Church of Asia was filthy. That's right. That's what they're doing. So you see, we see these things happening. We see what he said taking place, and 1 + 1 = because you're dumbed down equals 3, or 1 + 1 = 4 because you're dumbed down. But it's happening in front of your face. 1 + 1 = 2. By their fruits you shall know them. Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass that thou shalt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and statutes this day that I command thee. All these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now, if you'll observe closely to what God is telling them in the book of Deuteronomy, he is saying that what is a blessing becomes a curse. The same blessing becomes a curse depending on your response to God's word. And the blessing and cursing come in two major arenas of life. These deal with economics, economic blessings, economic cursing, and health blessings or plagues as a curse, cursing. Let's just examine Deuteronomy 28 and verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field, in the country. You know what? I'm blessed, but I can go into the city and I see people wearing a mask, driving all alone, walking down the street all alone, in the park all alone, and they've gone crazy because they think that a mask, which will not even hold out smoke or BO or anything like that, but it'll hold out a virus, which is 50 times smaller than a bacteria. And a bacteria a bacteria is like a beluga whale, and the virus is like a man on the beluga whale. That's how small it is. Sperm whale, excuse me, the big one. Cursed shall I be in the city, cursed shall thou be in the field. What is that? Economics and health. Economics and health. Deuteronomy 28:24. Blessed be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle. In other words, and the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. In other words, you're just blessed, period. Well, it doesn't matter what it is. You're blessed, okay? You're blessing the food of your, you're blessing your children. They're believers. All right. You're blessed. All right. You got wayward kids. You're not blessed. All right. The fruit of the cattle, you're blessed. I'll say the fruit of the cats, you're blessed. All right. And the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Deuteronomy 20:18. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and of the fruit of thy land, the increase of thine kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Something goes on here. What is it? Why do you have children that are renegades? Because you're not teaching them at a young age to respect God in all things. You know, I'm sorry to say it. Parental delinquencies, what Brother Bram said. You know, does that mean making the kids come to church? Absolutely it does. Does that mean having prayer time? Absolutely it does. You're preparing your children to meet your Savior, their Savior. All right. Verse 5, blessed shall thy basket and thy store. In other words, wow, we've got things stored up. Like the brother told me, you know, we went through everything, land, provisions, you know, everything set aside. He has it in case he needs it. And it doesn't affect the way he lives. He lives good. All right? So, blessed shall thy be in thy basket. Are you blessed? Is God turning your curse into blessing? Is God turning your nothingness into blessing? And thy store. What's a storehouse? It's where you put things that you don't really need today, but you may need tomorrow. Right? All right. Verse 17. Cursed shall thy be thy basket and thy store. Huh. The same basket and the same store that you're blessed in becomes a curse because you don't have enough to get you by tomorrow. You don't have enough stored up. You don't have enough in your basket. You don't have enough for day to day. Americans live on 3 days of food. That's the average home. Can you imagine 3 days of food? I can't. I'm sorry, but I just can't imagine going to the pantry and not finding what I want to find. But they do. Every day, so they go out to eat. And they're poisoned by what they're eating. Verse 6. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. No one is there to harm you. Like in South Africa, you live in a gated community and you have a gate around your house. And you kind of look around the neighborhood to make sure that you can back out past the gate or they will rob you. Such as one of the brothers that I know. He had a gate setting up and his wife was going out. And while the gate was open, the bandits were in their car and they scrambled with their machine guns and they robbed the house. He was robbed, beat up, and his wife was robbed and beat up. Living in a gated community. Why is a gate around the community? To keep the riffraff out. Why do you put gates around your house? To keep others who make it in out. And yet, cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. They're living in a hellhole. And I don't use the word as like a curse word. I use it as what it is. All right? Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. Verse 7. And the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come in, they shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee 7 ways. We had, when Brother Bill died, about 45 brethren come in one way from one church, and they all left and went their own ways, 7 different directions. All right? Count them. You'll see 7 different directions they went. So, we were blessed because they came in one way. They were our enemies, enemies of God. But they left 7 ways. Now, Deuteronomy 28:8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse, and in all that thou settest in thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord God, thy God giveth thee. That's our millennium. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto what? Himself. As he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Oh, that brother Vail, I don't want to get near him. He'll just chew me out. Well, good for you. I hope he does. If you need chewing, let it be chewed. If I need chewing, hey, listen, if I need chewing, let him chew me. I've sat many times with that man of God, and he said, let me tell you about love. So I said, oh, goody, 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 I'm going to let her about love. And I walk outside with him, and he slugged me in the arm as hard as he could. Then he starts crying, and I was standing like nose to nose, and I started crying. Not from the pain of the slugging, because I used to, do that with my brothers, probably too. You slug him in the arm, and he'll slug you back. But then he said, now, did the Lord do that, or did Lee Vail? Was that the Lord, or was that Lee Vail? He said, I used to not understand love. And so I would see Brother Branham and his kindness, and I misplaced the word kindness with love. And I saw how kind he was to the people, and I thought, I don't have that. Brother Branham, would you pray for me for love? And Brother Branham said, now Brother Lee said, you have love. He said, oh, I don't have love. I don't have what you got. I want to have what you got. And he said, you do. He said, really? He said, yes. He said, do you do things for people that you wouldn't normally do except you're a Christian? Yeah, that's love. You see, you're surrendering yourself to the Word of God above your likes for that person. All right? So I learned there, right then, that love is not emotion. Love is not being kind. Love is not talking a certain way. The Lord bless you, my brother. It's none of that stuff. It's treating everybody the same. It's doing it because you're a Christian. Helping others because you're a Christian. So I learned, was it the Lord that had him hit me in the arm to give me an understanding? Why did God make one vessel this way and make another one nice, like Brother Branham? Make him gentle and make him sweet and everything else. But this other one is called a veil. That's the name, Veil. And he was a veil. And he didn't like people to get near him, because then they would worship him, make him an eighth messenger or something. So he kept you at a distance. And we won't listen to what he had to say because, we're better than he is. We're a better human being, so therefore the word means nothing to you. All it means to you is feelings. Oh, he's such a nice, he's a bad man because he says hogwash. But he's a nice man because he won't say hogwash. That has nothing to do with it. His righteousness is as filthy rags. God showed him. His righteousness is as filthy rags. It means nothing to God. Brother Vail said when he was in the presence of God, he looked like a hunted animal. And Brother Bram said, I'm always that way. I never get over it. I'm like a hunted animal. His whiskers stood out on his face. He was that scared that somehow he might have said something or done something to displease his Lord. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself. And he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see thee, that thou art called by my name, the name of the Lord, and shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thee to give the fathers. Now, so all of these are economic blessings. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, and the heaven to give rain unto thy land in a season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations. When did America become a debtor nation? during the time of this prophet when they turned them down in about 56. Up to that point, America was pulling its own weight. Then she'd become a debtor nation. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. You know, 90 some nations have forsaken the American dollar and are turning to the BRICS nations because the BRICS nations are offering their dollar based on gold and silver. It's going to happen. Did you know that if you have 406 ounces of silver, you are in the top 1% of individuals in the world? Now, there's governments that have more. There's institutions that have more, but you are in the 1%. Did you know if you have 100 ounces of gold, you're in the top 1% of the people in this nation that own gold? You're blessed. Really, really blessed. And that gold may one day be worth 10,000 and your silver 600. And they're saying by the end of July, who knows? And I don't really care because I just want to get out of here. I don't care if I have $1 million or $10 million worth of gold and silver. I want to get out of here. They can have it. Actually, I don't want it to have it, so I got hidden pretty good. So the Lord shall make thee the head, not the tail. And thou shalt be above, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken, pay attention, pay heed to, unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Now, compare now each blessing of health and good economics to the cursing with poor health and poor economics. It is one thing for God to bless you with good health. He can say that your health will be good. But when he curses you with poor health, he gets very specific and names the different plagues and diseases that will come upon those under the curse. Well, you say, you must be cursed because you had a stroke. No, I'm not cursed because I had a stroke. I'm awake because I had a stroke. I'm more in tune with God because I'm more dependent on God than ever in my life before. You know, I used to go here, go there. You know, I like to fish. I went fishing. I would get out in my kayak. I go on my motorcycle hey, I'm living the life, right? And then, boom, I got a stroke. I don't care to go in my kayak. I don't care to go riding the bike. You know, I just care to get in his word and study his word. My wife said, what you doing up there? You on the internet? Yeah, I am. Well, why are you on the internet? I'm studying. I'm looking at different things in different places around the world. You watching a movie? No, I'm not watching a movie. I don't care to watch a movie. Once in a while, I'm watching a cowboy movie. But I don't care about those things. I care about what's happening in the world because I want to see number 82. I want to see it on the horizon. I want to be able to go down the escalator and I can now see it's coming. That's what I want because then I'm anticipating that I'm going to see the full picture when I get there. I'm waiting for those things to come. All right. Now compare each blessing of health and good economics to the cursing of poor health and poor economics. You know, there'll be famine in the land, the Bible says. Well, you know what? What is that a result of? Poor economics. The people in Africa are starving. Why? Because they're poor. It is one thing for God to bless you with good health. He can say your health will be good. But when he curses you with poor health, he gets very specific and names the different plagues and diseases that will come upon those under the curse. Deuteronomy 28:20. And the Lord shall send upon thee cursings. Oof, here we go. Vexations. What's a vexation? You're troubled all the time. And rebuke. What is a rebuke? Well, all you gotta do is look at the nation and look at who's in the White House and it's a rebuke to everybody because they put them in there. Now I didn't. I voted against the man. But the ones who are in power put him in there. He's got drugs in the White House. Listen, do you know he has 500 staff? 500 staff. He has more than any president before him. 500 staff to serve him. He's acting like a king. His wife has 55 attendants. Melania had between 7 and 12, depending on what year it was. He has 5 times what she had, more than 5 times in some cases. In all that thou settest thine hand unto, to do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou art forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. What's pestilence? That's like insects, mosquitoes that carry malaria, and Zilla that carries, mosquito carrying malaria and different things. Until he have consumed thee from off the face of the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation. You know, they say that 90% of all disease is inflammation. It starts by inflammation. 90%. That's why, turmeric is very good for your diet. I'm just saying. And with an extreme burning and with the sword. What's that? Neighbor against neighbor. And with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thee, that thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust, smog, and acid rain. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee 7 ways before them, and thou shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. The Lord shall make thy rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. You say, how can I, being a person, avoid being cursed? Because he's talking about the rain. It falls everywhere, doesn't it? No. I had brothers in Africa say, they called me and said, the rain is preventing our evangelistic meetings. And I said, let's bow our heads right now, this moment in prayer. And so we prayed, and I said, Lord, you've done this so many times. I get kind of giddy looking for it again. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would stop the rain long enough that they could have their meetings. And you know what? He called me back and said, I forgot. He called me back 2 days later. That was a Thursday. Called me back 2 days later and said, oh, I forgot to call you. As soon as we prayed, 1 hour later, the rain stopped. And we started our evangelistic meeting Thursday night. Then, this brother was there in Uganda when God turned away the storm. And so I said, another time, this brother calls me and says, boy, we're getting flooded out. We have too much rain. And I said, let's pray. And we prayed, and the rain stopped. Another time, he said, the same brother said, this time, he said, we don't have any rain, and our crops aren't growing. I said, you were there when we turned away the storm in Uganda. I said, we didn't do it. God did it. I said, now he'll answer our prayer. So let's just pray the same prayer that we prayed then. And so we did. And you know what? It started raining for them and their crops were safe. So you see, around the world, it doesn't matter where you're at. God hears your prayer. So when you're praying for the brethren around the world, look and see what things are happening in their nation, and begin to pray for God's sons, his daughters, that those things wouldn't happen to them. All right? Just like when the tornado was headed for our house, I prayed and said, Lord, turn the tornado north in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it did. Justin had called me 3 in the morning, said, hey, there's a tornado heading your way. So I prayed. I went out on the porch. It was yellow. It was kind of orange. And I prayed, and I commanded that thing to move north in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it did, and it destroyed a farm, but it didn't destroy this house. and it didn't destroy his farm, it destroyed his barn. And his barn needed to come down anyway, so he was actually blessed. So, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies, and thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them, and thou and shalt be removed into all the kingdom. Yep, they went from Brother Vale's church, and there were troublemakers up there, and they came down and were troublemakers here, and they left here because they couldn't stand the reproach of the word, and they thought I was too hard like Brother Vale, so they went out seven ways, and some went to other nations. So I'm just saying the Lord is the same. He changes not. All right? And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite with thee the botch of Egypt, and with emrods, and with scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness. What's madness? Insanity. I say 80% of those people you deal with on a daily basis and those people you don't deal with on a daily basis. 80% are insane already. Brother Brown said he will get to the point where they're all insane except those that have the mind of Christ. All right? So we're getting there. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, scab, itch, etc. Whereas thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness. Are they blind? Are they Laodiceans? Rich increase with goods, think they are, and yet are miserable, blind, and naked. And astonishment of heart. You know, I read a quote one of the brothers put up the other day. Brother Bram said, why aren't they getting this? You can read the word before them, and why aren't they getting this? He said, because they're not ordained to see it. They're not ordained to know it. Why is your neighbor blind and naked? They're not ordained to this message. They're not ordained to know what you know. They're not in the tunnel. They're not in his presence. All right? So, and then astonishment of heart. That's anxiety. That's end time neurosis. We cover that in December of we covered October, November, December of 2019. And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore. And no man shall save thee. No Trump will save thee, no man. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. How much does that go on? Man finds out. He's working hard all day long. He comes home and finds his wife in bed with another man. She's got time to play. He doesn't. She's an adulteress. But he's cursed. And thou shalt prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth the wife, another man lie with her. Thou shalt build in a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant the vineyard and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes. See, this is all economic. And thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face. And that's the guys that come and haul your cars away and, you know, they take what's yours. And shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. How many of your children have died in Afghanistan, in another foreign nation? How many died in Saudi Arabia? How many died around the world thinking they're serving their country, and they were killed in combat? How many of your children, I know they're not happening among us, we're blessed. But what I'm saying is, you go watch the movie. You know, I don't tell people to watch movies too often, but I will say this. If you get a chance, watch The Sound of, The Sound of Freedom. Caviezel is the person who played Jesus in The Passion, and it's about $150 billion business of stealing your children. They will say, well, we're going to have you a talent. You know, we're going to have a talent contest, so we want you to come, but your parents aren't allowed to be there. That ought to be your clue number one. no parent, you don't leave your children with a babysitter. You don't leave your children with someone else to watch them. You don't leave your children with, you know, how many times do we find down here, even in the Assemblies of God Church, people left their children at daycare and the guy was raping little children. About, what, 10, 20 years ago. All right. Don't leave your children for someone else to watch. That's why I'm against them going to public schools, because those people are teaching LGBT and everything else, and it's very offensive to God. And your children are being indoctrinated. Well, not only are indoctrinated, but 150 of them are abandoned. I mean, they're actually stolen from them. A mother be diverted at a cash register. She's talking to cash register. Kid standing by the door. A man comes in off his motorcycle, grabs the kid under his arm, hops on the motorcycle with his friend, and poof, the kid, you never see the kid again. Never see him again. A mother be laying, sleeping next to a pillar, and her baby's behind her. She doesn't have her arm around the baby. And a man walks, pretends he's going to sleep too. He's laying there long enough to see she's out. And he grabs the kid. And now you've got an abduction. Where those children happen to go is into slavery. Whether it's sex slavery or whether it's to be your slave. Like in the cocaine fields, they rescued a little girl. She was about Ella's age. Actually, by the time they rescued her, she was 11, but she was your age when she was stolen. And you know what? She was a very good musician. And so a woman standing outside the door heard her playing and said, oh, man. And she was Miss Venezuela She was Miss Colombia at one time. So she was a very pretty woman, very, you know, very attractive. And so she'd use her attractiveness and to steal children for the cartel or for the slave industry. That's what happened to the girl. She wanted to, oh, daddy, can I? And daddy, because he was a single father, he said, well, okay. So daddy drives him to the place, drops him off at the place like a good daddy does, but doesn't wait outside the door. And when he gets back to pick up the child, the woman says, don't come back till 7 o'clock tonight. And when he gets back at 7 o'clock tonight, guess what? The child is abandoned. The room is abandoned. The chairs, everything, all the props in there are taken out. And it's just an empty room. And there was like 30 kids that were stolen in that one episode. $150 billion business. And it's because they turned down the word of God. Because they don't pay attention. They didn't take heed to the word of God. The Bible says, train up your child in the way they should go. And when they get old, they will not depart. Train up your child. Doesn't say let somebody else do it for you. Doesn't say give them a cell phone to babysit. I'm sorry, you parents that do that are being delinquent. And I'm sorry if I have to rebuke you, but you know what? I'll just say the word. I didn't do that when my kids were young. You know, we just don't believe in that. So the fruit of thy land and of thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. You know, Bill Gates owns 84% or something like that of the farmlands in America. You think he's going to turn it to food? No, you're going to starve. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always. So that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see, the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed. And from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head, the Lord shall bring thee, and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. In other words, the god of materialism. Materialism. That's what it's all about. It's even that in China. The god of materialism. The god of the greenback. Or now it's of the wand, all right? And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a bylaw among all all nations where the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and thou shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them. Thou shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather of the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. In other words, no matter if you're under the curse, no matter what you try to do, you're cursed. How do you get out of it? Paying heed to the voice of God. Because he said, you were once that way. All right? Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. $150 billion business. And thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume, and the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high. Isn't it strange that Kissinger and Soros and Schiff of the WEF and the Prime Minister of Peru, Imoto, who drained the coffers dry before he fled back to Japan, because he was a Japanese citizen as a prime minister elected by the people. Why did they elect him? Because they weren't paying heed to the voice of the Lord their God. And thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend unto thee, and thou shalt not lend unto him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not, thou heedest not, thou did not pay attention to the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which commanded thee this day. Brother Branham said, Billy Graham canceled his meetings. I canceled my meetings. Oral Roberts canceled his meeting. We crisscrossed America in 1956, and I predict this year she'll turn down the gospel. And she did. And you find church attendance peaked in 56 and went down ever since. I think 57 was stayed the same. But after that, just went down, went down, went down, went down. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seat forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness for the abundance of all things. Therefore thou shalt serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as an eagle that flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, nor show favor to the young. We're going to be invaded. We know it. Europe will be invaded. And it's the will of God. It's to rub their noses in the fact that they turned him down. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee neither corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thine kine, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. So you can't get a decent cut of meat in Europe today. All you get is the leftover cuts. You know who gets the good cuts? The elites do. It's only sold on the elite markets. They turned down the Lord years ago, and what has happened to them is about to happen in the States. This power is in prayer. Father, we seem to have given a message today which some might think is very depressing and very much focused on what is coming upon this nation, but yet we have the blessings. And so either we pay attention to the voice of the Lord our God and are blessed, and the blessing should come upon thee and overtake thee, both in plagues and in finances, or we shall be cursed like the rest of the nation in plagues and in finances. So Lord, we see today how the economic depression judgment is about to strike this nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now tonight we're going to cover the last one. I think this is a pretty good study. Do you think so? So anyway, we're going to study this, and I tell you what, you know, I was not looking forward to our study on the church and on the World Council of Churches because I didn't know anything about it. But this morning, or actually last night and this morning, the Lord just opened up his word to me. And I begin to see it like never before. And so you're going to be really blessed when we get to that one. But in between, we're going to have more questions and answers on the resurrection. And those are good questions the brothers are asking. So anyway, tonight we will look at this and the last one on end time depression judgments. So God be with you. God bless you.